Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the CAE second quarter conference call. Please be advised that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Andrew Arnovitz. You may now proceed, Mr. Arnovitz.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Before we begin, I need to read the following. Certain statements made during this conference, including but not limited to statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking and are subject to important risks, uncertainties, and assumptions. These include statements about our activities, events, and developments that we expect to or anticipate may occur in the future, including, for example, statements about our vision, strategies, market trends and outlook, future revenues, capital spending, expansions, and new initiatives, financial obligations, and expected sales. By their nature, forward-looking statements require us to make assumptions and are subject to inherent risks and uncertainties associated with our business, which may cause actual results in future periods to differ materially from results indicated in forward-looking statements. While these statements are based on management's expectations and assumptions regarding historical trends, current conditions, and expected future developments, as well as other factors that we believe are reasonable and appropriate in the circumstances, listeners are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. There's a risk they may not be accurate. Except as required by law, we disclaim any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. The forward-looking information and statements contained in this presentation are expressly qualified by this cautionary statement. You'll find more information about the risks and uncertainties associated with our business in our second quarter fiscal 2015 MD&A and an annual information form for the year ended March 31st, 2014. These documents have been filed with the Canadian Securities Commissions and are available on our website at CAE.com and on SEDAR. They've also been filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission under Form 40F and are available on EDGAR. Forward-looking statements in this conference represent our expectations as of today, November the 12th, 2014, and accordingly are subject to change after this date. On the call with me this afternoon are Marc Parent, CAE's President and Chief Executive Officer, and Stéphane Lefebvre, our Chief Financial Officer. After comments from Marc and Stéphane, we will take questions from financial analysts and institutional investors. Following the conclusion of the Q&A period, we will open the call to members of the media. Let me now turn the call over to Marc.
Thank you, Andrew, and good afternoon to everyone joining us on the call. I'll first recap some of the highlights of the quarter, and then Stéphane will provide a more detailed summary of our financial results. I'll come back at the end of the call to discuss our way of the way forward. Our overall performance for the second quarter was in line with the outlook we shared at the start of the fiscal year. In civil, we had growth year over year during a typically slower summer period, and we reached some important strategic milestones with our comprehensive solutions, which underscores CAE's market leadership. In defense, we continue to be resilient with top-line and operating income growth, and we booked a range of orders on long-term contracts and from our install base of customers. And in healthcare, we made some good progress with strong growth in the quarter. Looking more specifically at each business, in civil, we're proud to have signed a joint venture agreement with Japan Airlines to provide flight crew training services across Northeast Asia. Starting in April of next year, Japan Airlines, one of the world's most preeminent airlines, will conduct all of its training at the CAE JAL joint venture. This marks an important step forward in the application of CAE's solution strategy. Other notable deals we signed during the quarter involve a range of civil solutions agreements with an expected value of approximately $300 billion. We secured a long-term contract extension with LATAM Airlines in South America, which includes training for the new Airbus A350. We signed with Air Algérie in Africa to train 200 new cadets over the next 4 years to address the airline's needs for pilots in a high-growth market. And we expanded our relationship with Jet Airways in India, with the airline consolidating its training activity into CAE's Bangalore Training Center. The civil book-to-sales ratio for the quarter was 1.01, and for the last 12 months, it was 1.11. Our civil backlog was $2.4 billion, which does not yet include the joint venture with Japan Airlines. In defense, we continue to expand our base of long-term recurring services contracts and our worldwide customer fleet of flight training devices with new deployments, contract extensions, and technology upgrades. The U.S. Air Force exercised options on existing contracts to provide training services for the Predator, Reaper, remotely piloted vehicles, and a KC-135 tanker aircraft, while the U.S. Navy did the same for its T-44C aircraft. We also received contracts to upgrade simulators for the German Air Force's Eurofighter, the Royal Canadian Air Force's CP-140 Aurora, the U.S. Air Force's C-5 Galaxy, and Royal Australian Air Force's Orion aircraft. As well, during the quarter, we won orders for the UH-72A Lakota helicopter simulator for the U.S. Army and a C-130 fuselage trainer for the U.S. Air Force Reserve Command. The latter contract includes a suite of high-fidelity trauma patient simulators from CAE Healthcare to create an immersive aeromedical evacuation training environment. In total, we received $167 million in defense orders this quarter, representing a book-to-sales ratio of 0.8. The ratio for the last 12 months was 0.89, and our second quarter defense backlog was $2.4 billion. Looking now at healthcare, we saw increased volume in our second quarter as our new products and sales channels began contributing to results. We were successful across a number of healthcare markets involving sales of our patient and ultrasound simulators, audio-visual solutions, courseware, and training. In defense, our customers included the U.S. Navy and U.S. Air Force Reserve Command, as well as a military training center in Saudi Arabia. In nursing and healthcare science education, we sold patient simulators and multi-year services to the Southeast Technical Institute in the United States. And in the professional and OEM segments, we developed a simulation-based training solution for physicians using the Impella heart pump in partnership with medical device manufacturer Abiomed. With that, I'll now turn the call over to Stéphane.
Thank you, Mark, and good afternoon, everyone. Consolidated revenue for the quarter was $529.4 million, and net income attributable to equity holders from continuing operations was $42 million, or 16 cents per share. Our income tax rate this quarter was higher than in previous quarters at 24%. This compares to 17% for the same quarter last year, and 21% in the first quarter this year. The higher rate is mainly due to differences in the mix of income from the various jurisdictions in which we operate. Free cash flow from continuing operations was negative 17.1 for the second quarter. The increase over last quarter was mainly due to a lower investment in non-cash working capital, partially offset by lower cash provided by continuing operating activities. The decrease on the second quarter last year was mainly due to unfavorable changes in non-cash working capital. Historically, our free cash flow is higher in the second half of the fiscal year, and we expect that to be the case again this year with improvements in both working capital and higher operating cash flows. Capital expenditures were $35.8 million this quarter, with growth investments representing 51% of the total and maintenance capital expenditures the balance. Net debt was $998.5 million as at September 30th, 2014, compared to $901.6 million as at June 30th, 2014. Our net debt to capital ratio remained within our objective range at 39.9%. Now looking at our segmented financial performance. For civil, Second quarter revenue was $296 million, up by 10% year-over-year, and operating income was up 16% year-over-year to $45.4 million for an operating margin of 15.3%. We had a tax gain in the quarter in one of our JVs, as well as some non-recurring expenses, the net effect of which brings the civil margin to about 14%, which is still better than last year on a normalized basis. Training utilization was 62% in the quarter, which reflects the impact of seasonality on training demand during the summer months. In defense, we continue to be resilient with second quarter revenue up 9% year-over-year at $209.1 million and operating income up 2% at $25.6 million for an operating margin of 12.2%. And finally, in healthcare, revenue for the quarter was up 37% year-over-year to $24.3 million, and operating income was $1.8 million for a margin of 7.4%. This compares to $400,000 last year and a margin of 2.2%. The higher margin results from our ability to absorb SG&A and development costs with higher volume, which underscores the healthy gross margins on our healthcare product lines. So with that, I'll turn the call back over to you, Mark.
Thanks, Stéphane. As we look ahead to the second half of the fiscal year, we continue to expect a stronger performance across all business segments. We remain highly encouraged by the civil aviation market and our opportunities for growth. Market fundamentals remain robust, with commercial OEM aircraft backlogs and delivery rates at historical levels, and global passenger traffic continued to grow at a healthy pace. It was up by nearly 6% for the first 9 months of the year. In business aviation, the market is showing signs that a broader recovery may be underway. According to the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, the number of business jet flights has increased by 3% over the last 12 months and has increased consecutively every month for the last year and a half. In September, business jet operations were up 5.7%. All of these factors bode well for our civil business, and we continue to expect better results in the last two quarters of the year as we benefit from the usual seasonal pickup. For the year, we're still expecting low double-digit revenue growth and even higher growth in operating income. Our pipeline remains strong, and building on the 13 full-flight simulator sales and training deals we've announced so far, we reiterate our outlook for about 40 full-flight simulator sales for the year. We also expect to continue booking training and services contracts at a rate that's supportive of a positive book-to-sales ratio for civil overall. In defense, we also continue to expect a stronger second half of the year. We have a solid backlog and a robust bid pipeline, which gives us the confidence to maintain our view that defense will remain resilient for the year overall. The value proposition of simulation-based training, together with our platform and geographic coverage, gives us the confidence that we'll grow in defense over the longer term. And finally, in healthcare, we've made good momentum with our new products and sales channels, and we expect to do even better in the second half as we achieve greater scale. We continue to be encouraged by our prospects, and we expect to benefit from a larger market opportunity over the longer term. Thank you for your attention, and we're now ready to take your questions. Andrew?
Operator, we'll now welcome investors and analysts to ask questions, and would ask that participants please limit themselves to a single part question, and if they have additional questions, to please re-enter the queue so that everyone has a chance. Thank you, operator. We'll now open the line.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, press 1-3. Once again, for a question, it's 1-4. Our first question comes from Steve Arthur with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Great, thank you. Just wanted to follow up on the civil margins a little bit further. They're down sequentially to, I guess, 15.3%, or it sounds like 14% ex some one-time factors, and utilization was lower. Both those were a little lower than I might have expected. Can you comment on why that might have been? Is there anything weighing on that other than regular seasonality? And I guess more importantly, your perspectives on the trajectory of those margins, you know, through the balance of this year and into next?
I'll just start it, Steve. I think I think really what you're seeing largely is seasonality. I mean, we expected and we saw a pretty high level of load. I mean, you can see the load factors at airlines from different sources very high during the summer months. And you couple that with the fact that in our products business, we shut down the plants during the summer, and that largely contributed to the low utilization plus plant shutdown contributes a lot to the results that you see. And maybe just a little bit deeper, dive on that, Stefan.
Why don't I give a little bit more indication on the margins that I talked about in my remarks, Steve. You see the margin that we've reported, 15.4%. In actual fact, we've got in one of our JVs in Malaysia, and we've got a note in the financial statements on that effect. We've had an important gain from a tax incentive that we were able to get from the Malaysian government. So that gave us a 9.4 million benefit in the civil in the quarter. On the other hand, we've absorbed some one-time costs in the civil division as well. I guess one of the biggest items is related to the consolidation of one of our helicopter training operations in Stavanger. So there's been some termination cost, termination lease cost, and moving costs associated to that. There's been some termination cost in SG&A as well in the business. And the other element that I will bring is we've had a bit of an FX hit in the civil business from the translation of some non-cash working cap from one of our operations in Brazil. So the net of all that is, as I said in my remark, the normalized margin in civil end up at around 14% as opposed to the 15.3% reported in the MD&A.
And just on the last bit of your question, Steve, the trajectory is, as we said in our outlook, is high, and I reiterate what we said in my notes there in terms of the low double-digit revenue growth in civil for the year overall and even higher growth in operating income. And I think reiterate what we said last quarter that, for the year we expect higher average margins in civil than we did last year and higher peak margins than we did last year. And really, pretty much that comes on the back of the higher product flow that we're getting through, going through with the orders that we've signed in previous quarters, and in a big way, just increase utilization. I mean, it's a recurring business. If you don't train during the summer, you got to train sometime, and which means when we look at the third and fourth quarter, we see that activity coming back. And of course, you throw more revenue off our existing network of training centers, and that has a positive effect on the bottom line. That's what we expect to see.
So higher peak margins, I guess that would imply something like your comments, this time last year of high teens towards the end of the year.
Well, like I said, higher average margins for the year and higher peak margins. I think what was our peak margin last year?
17.9,
I think. Yeah, so higher than that at one peak and higher average than we did for the year as a whole. That's what we said before, and we maintain that.
Great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Benoit Poirier with Desjardins Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just wondering if you could provide more color about the free cash flow expectation for this year, especially when we look at your performance year to date, and also what we should expect on the debt side going forward.
Yeah, I can take this one, Benoit. And I think if you look at the negative free cash flow in the second quarter, highly related to the investment that we made in non-cash working cap, and I would say highly related to the some project-related accounts. We didn't sign a lot of product orders in the second quarter, and usually as we sign product orders, there's a always some down payments that come with the with orders. Some of the orders we were expecting to sign the second quarter were pushed to the right, so that's why we ended up with the free cash flow negative results that we had in the second quarter. Now, with what I can see for the rest of the year, as Mark said, the market is strong. We see pickup both in our product and in our service businesses, and so we could see, we always target a conversion of net income into free cash flow of 100%, and I can certainly see the second half of the year being robust in terms of free cash flow and what we will we can generate out of non-cash working capital accounts.
Okay, thanks for the caller. I'll get back in the queue.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Cameron Dorkson with National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I guess just a question on the outsourcing deal that you've done with JAL. You know, it's obviously a pretty good strategic win for you. Are you you know, thinking that you can sign additional deals like that in the next year or two? Are you seeing more interest following that deal from other airlines?
I'm not sure that we've seen a more appetite just as a result of that one deal, but yeah, as I said before, we see more interest in outsourcing, and certainly what the JAL deal does is clearly other airlines will see if a carrier like JAL does that, and I think even more importantly that with you know the reputation of JAL trusting, you know, CAE with the trusting of all their air crew, the training of their air crew, I think it says a pretty strong statement to other airlines. So, yeah, we are pursuing a number of these deals. I wouldn't, as I've said before, to me, this, I don't see a sea change in behavior of airlines so far, but there's definitely more interest, and certainly in the next year or two, I certainly see one or two of these a year coming up. That's what made my expectation, based on what we see in the market right now, what we're pursuing.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Turan Katawala with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I guess maybe I'll talk a little bit about the defense business here. The margins were a little bit weak, although it's nice to see the revenue being quite strong there. I know there is some pricing pressure in the business there, but is there anything else maybe that's going on the quarter that you could highlight in terms of mix or something that maybe is affecting the margin? And then just maybe based on the environment today, if you look forward here, maybe you can give us a sense of the trajectory on the margin on the defense side.
Look, there's nothing really exceptional in defense in the second quarter. We started off the year with a margin at about 11%, if you recall, in Q1, and I think we had said at the time it really was based on the different mix of the business that we executed in the first quarter. I used to guide in the for quite a few quarters now that we're running a business that generating around 12-13% margin, and that's where we're back on for the second quarter. There's for us to gain, we'll get momentum on margin as we win more orders and get the volume going for us. But there was nothing like, you know, nothing specific in Q2 to get to the margins we got to.
Great, thank you.
Our next question comes from Ben Cherniavsky with Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Just a bit of a housekeeping item. I'm trying to understand the FX impact. There was a lot of discussion in the MD&A about how currency on a year-over-year basis lifted revenue, but I didn't see anywhere a quantification of that. I'm wondering if you can just clarify what was the consolidated impact of the lower Canadian dollar on your revenue base year-over-year.
Yeah, you can actually, Ben, you can actually see it. I think we got a section in the MD&A that quantifies that. For the company as a whole, the additional revenue from the change in the Canadian dollar was $18.9 million. That's for the quarter against the same quarter last year. And the impact on net income was $400,000, so a little less than half of a million.
Okay,
so that's
sorry.
On, that's on, yeah, that's you get that in I think section four of the MD&A. That's where we quantify the impact of movements in FX on the translation of our operations.
Okay, thanks for pointing that out.
Sure.
Our next question comes from David Newman with Cormac Securities. Please go ahead.
Just a quick housekeeping one, then I'll ask my question. Just in terms of the civil training utilization in the quarter, guys, what was it?
62%.
62%. So it's basically where it was last year, same quarter, right?
Correct.
Okay, and if you look at just the other, everybody's asked about the civil and military, so I'll take a shot at the other segment. I mean, you seem to have hit an inflection point in the healthcare overall. Obviously, the top line saw some good impact there. How much of that was related to sort of pent-up demand for the maternal simulators, and what do you think the revenues and margins could be going forward on that? Will we see that check back to a certain degree, or how do you see that playing out?
Well, some of it was due to, delivering the backlog of as we entered into production of the Lucina simulator, the one you talked about. But having said that, I think when I look at where the revenue came from and the stability of the business, I think we're going to continue to see a higher revenue than we've seen in the past. It's a bit early for us. I mean, it's still a lot. We're learning about the seasonality of and the cyclicality of this particular business. But in terms of the strength of the product lines, I think what you're seeing, in addition to the backlog of the Lucina product line, what you're seeing is that the investment in the products that we've made, not only in that simulator, the rest of our simulators, in our audiovisual solutions, in our training network, our training systems, is really come to fruition. And it was expected. I mean, as I said before, we expect for the year as a whole, pretty strong double-digit revenue growth, and you're starting to see that. So, look, I would say early days, but I certainly wouldn't expect to see a significant check back, although it will vary. But I'm not expecting a big pullback there.
Okay, and then just in the margin, I mean, how much leverage is in that model? I mean, you had 7.4% in a quarter. I mean, is this the new normal, or what is the new normal in that one?
Well, I think that what you look at is we're over. We said in the past that one of the reasons that our margins were low is because the investments we're making in SG&A and in R&D. To develop these products are to a certain level to create and sustain a higher level of business. I mean, we've never been aiming for a business at the level we're at. So as you're seeing a revenue growth, you're seeing more drop to the bottom line, and I think that's sustainable. We'll continue to invest in SG&A and R&D, but I think the level you see that is not going to grow proportionally to the revenue line. So I think that the margins you look at, I think we're at 7 point something in the quarter. At this level, I mean, you can expect it at range, but it'll vary. I mean, it could go down. I mean, we're talking about relatively small numbers. Things can throw it off, between, 5 to 10, that anywhere in that level. If you sustain revenues above 20, which we're at 20, 23, you're probably going to be in that range of 5 to 10%.
Okay, and then the last one, just a part of that is the mining sale. Any update on level of interest in the the mining unit?
Look, we've David, we've got a process going. Received some expressions of interest. I won't say more. We expect to close the deal by the end of the fiscal year.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from David Tyman with Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a question on the civil sales guidance. So you've done 6% revenue growth in the first half. So to get to double digit, you're going to have to put a pretty big number up in the second half, and your backlog hasn't been changing very much. I was wondering what is driving or what's going to drive the pretty strong sales growth in the second half.
Just to be clear, David, you're talking about revenue or order intake?
Revenue.
Revenue? Well, I think it's really what you're going to see is the pickup in activity in our civil training centers, more utilization, more airlines and more business jet operators training. That's the large part.
Okay. Okay, so is there something that's changed here, Mark? Is this the sims that were being put into new locations and then coming up, or it just seems like a pretty big step change from H1 to H2.
Well, partly, and part of it is some of those coming online. Part of it, you know, we thought we were completely over in moving sims, but as Stefan talked about it, one of the, if you like, events that hit the quarter is we basically made a consolidation of what our training centers on the helicopter side, and so that helicopter training center, which is does all our offshore oil, a part of our a big part of our offshore oil exploration helicopter training, that was pretty much down in the second quarter, so we weren't seeing a lot of revenue there. So there's going to be a pickup on that, but there's nothing changed. I think you're seeing, I guess when you see the what explains the low utilization in the second quarter, because airlines again are flying, they're flying a lot. Well, in the end of the day, they have to train. As long as they fly, they have to train. The fact that they're flying a lot means that in the third and fourth quarter, they're going to have to train a lot. So we don't expect to lose the customers. A lot of them are anchor customers in our joint venture centers, and the way we come up with our revenue forecast is based on a pretty exhaustive center by center, simulator by simulator view. So it's not we don't look at this as a gross number. It's a roll up of pretty much the forecast we have for every center and every simulator we have in our network, and so we have a pretty good confidence on that number. I think it could change. Obviously, airlines can move things out, you know, literally maybe 3 months at a time, but it won't be much more than that.
Okay, and does the product side make much contribution there to the growth rate?
It's high, it's growing, but I don't think, I mean, we're already at a pretty high level, and I think the one thing that you will see is that I think where it will make a difference, because we were largely shut down for 3 weeks. Well, we were shut down for 3 weeks of the quarter and second quarter. So during that time, you see a much slower revenue from the product segment. So that will contribute.
But that's normal, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
But don't forget that this year we're benefiting from the orders that we got in the last 2 years. Plus, we did have, well, I don't know, I think we have, going back to the initial part of your question, we did deploy CapEx, which resulted in more sims being out there.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Kevin Chiang with CIBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just a follow-up on the utilization rate. It sounds like there's a lot of pent-up demand in the back half of the year. It looks like you did about 70% last year. Can you give us a sense of how much higher that can be in the back half of this year, maybe how far you are from what you view as being a normalized utilization rate in your, you know, in your network?
Sorry, I was debating who's going to answer that question. I don't think we usually give forward-looking utilization rates, frankly. But look, I think that if you look at the 10-year average, and maybe I'll leave it at that, which typically what you see in Q3, Q4 is in a range of 73-74%. And I'm giving you, like I said, the 10-year average number there. And I'm not sure that we've given in the past what our projections for going to be for the upcoming two quarters, but I'm pretty darn sure that it's not going to be lower than that.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Anthony Scilopoti with Veritas Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Sort of going back to some of the things that were talked about by others, and I think my question is going to relate mainly to the defense segment. I noticed that so the EBIT margin is down, but the EBITDA margin is sort of up by 20 basis points. And when I look at the consolidated numbers, my suspicion is that this is because of a pretty significant reduction in SG&A, about $6 million or so from last year quarter. So I'm just trying to understand why the reduction in SG&A. I know it's the second quarter in consecutively that it's happened, pretty sharp decline in SG&A. So maybe you can explain what's happening there. And then also tied with that, perhaps, is what's happening with maintenance CapEx, as we're starting to see it go up as a percentage of the total CapEx and go up in absolute. Thanks.
Let me deal with the second part, Anthony, right away. As far as the maintenance CapEx is concerned, look, in the quarter, you saw the maintenance CapEx go up against what we had seen previously, and that really is specific to certain platforms on the civil side that we've had to update to get to the new model in operation in some of our customers' fleet. So there's been a peak in maintenance CapEx. And overall, you look at the run rate for the first 6 months, I think we spent, 75 million in total CapEx for the first 6 months. We gave a guidance that we should be giving for the year, spending the amount of this very similar level of CapEx that we had last year at 157. So I believe that we should be in the range of 150 million overall for the year as a whole. On the SG&A side, look, I'd have to get into more of the specific. I know that Gene has continued reducing his operating cost in the business, and that's I think the change that you see in the level of SG&A in the business. There's some parts of the world where he hasn't rehired in G&A. As you would have done, in the prior year. So he's really containing his level of G&A overall in the business.
So we could expect to see the gross, sort of the SG&A level as a percentage, stay around sort of at these lower levels?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
And then I guess tied with that, what's happening at the gross margin level? Because we can't dig into that on a segmented basis, but we can see that over the last two quarters, there's been a reduction in the gross margin, consolidated.
Oh, consolidated. You'll see that when there's a drop in volume. So sequentially, that's certainly something that you'd see. And you're talking about CA as a whole, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So sequentially, that's something that you see. The other element, and I think I've talked about in a few times in previous quarters, is and that is more true so for the defense business. But as we're getting more of a service based organization than product services, our services contracts tend to generate lower margins. They very often longer term contracts, lower risk, but lower margins. So that plays in putting some pressure on margins in the defense business.
but it should create a better return on capital or not?
It should, yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
The only exception is if there is ever a new complete outsourcing contract in defense that would require some investment, then you'll see the return on CAD being diluted in the very, very early stages of the program and then picking back up. But we love those contracts.
Yeah,
they're usually
sure.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Sabi Shamoon with BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. This came up through the call, but I'm still not clear why at this point we are still seeing your capital employed growing 20% and revenue growth well below that. I think it was 10% and a quarter in this level margin, in this level side. I would have thought at this point we would see capital intensity come a little bit lower and a clearer path towards higher ROIC. I'm not sure if you can sort of go into more specific about that.
Yeah, I think we got hit more than we thought on capital employed by FX, unfortunately. This is a quarter that we're, you know, we don't have the a high volume of business in a year, and at the end of the quarter, we had to convert our capital employed with a very low Canadian dollar, so it hit us. So you can see that. I think we've put some language in the MD&A to that respect.
Okay, but the increase is, a lot higher than what would be explained by effects alone. So my question maybe is, are you pre-deploying some capacity at this point that you expect to ramp up in the next few quarters? Like, should we think this normalizes in the next year or so?
Well, I think if you look at the maybe I'll help you here, Fadi. If you look at the deployment of SIMs, we've got 8 more SEUs deployed in the quarter. I talked about the capex that we've spent in the quarter and what I believe it will be for the year. I don't think it changes our posture from what we said initially. If I look at the overall level of capex for the year, probably not going to be different from what we said earlier, probably in the range of what we had last year. It may just be the case that in this quarter we've had the level of investment that you send CapEx combined with lower deposits on contracts for lower product orderings and some effects hit. So the combination of all that is just put some pressure on our ROIC.
Okay. You've sort of indicated in the past, I think, that the military margin should sort of trend around 13%, 12 to 13, depending on the mix. Can you share with us what's your target margin this year in civil and in healthcare? What should we be aiming at a full year a margin in these segments? Thanks.
Are you talking about the margin performance profitability, Fadi?
No. What is your target EBIT margin in civil and healthcare for this year?
I think Mark touched base on it earlier. We haven't given a specific number for the year, Fadi. It's certainly going up, and certainly going up from where we are right now, and certainly going up from what we saw last year. As Mark said, average and peak margin.
Well, we're just repeating, Fadi, higher. I mean, obviously it starts with higher revenue. So we expect for the year as a whole for civil to have year over year a low double digit revenue increase. Then on top of that, we expect, and largely because of that, we expect to have average margins in civil for the year higher than the average we had last year, and higher peak margins that we had last year. We haven't quantified how much more, but it'll be higher.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to ask a question, press 1-4. We have
operator.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Operator, we do want to leave some time for members of the media. We could take one more question from investors, and then we'll switch over to members of the media.
Very good. We have a follow-up question from Benoit Poirier with the Desjardins. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just to come back on defense, book-to-bill was 0.8 during the quarter. Just wondering if you could provide more color between the mix between the services and equipment and what we should expect going forward in terms of book-to-bill for defense.
Yeah, we're just getting the information. Benoit, do we have the mix offhand? Well, it's in the MD&A.
We don't have the mix.
Oh, actually, we don't have it offhand. We could provide it to you separately, Benoit, but I think we had more products orders than we did services in the quarter. I know that.
Okay, I'm just curious because typically the margin story is related to leveraging the equipment, so I'm just wondering whether this thesis is starting to play out. Okay, and just on the ERP, you invest about $12 million during the quarter, which was up for versus $4 million a year ago. Just wondering if there was anything special to mention with respect to ERP and software.
Yeah, there is. We're just about to go live on the implementation of a portion of our operation in the facility here in Montreal. So we're at the kind of the last 2 weeks before a go live.
Okay, so basically we should expect this number to come back to more normalized level in Q3.
I was going to say, I think we should go live in about a month, so after that the investment will go down.
Okay, and for CapEx, you provided the color for the year, but should we still expect maintenance to stand at about 30% of total CapEx, Stéphane?
Yeah, I don't think the mix will change a lot.
Okay, and last question, just for the SIM order, two orders in the quarter, it's basically the weakest performance since fiscal 10, the second quarter. Just wondering if there was any cancellation or it's more kind of orders or push out toward the second half, and if you're able to still maintain your 70%, 75% market share.
I'm not too worried about that, Benoit. I think it was a low quarter for the industry as a whole. I think probably a consequence of the airlines again being busy. I think there was about three orders that we can see of the market as a whole. We won two. So, and if I look at the amount of orders that we're currently negotiating or in contracts negotiations and the pipeline, I don't have any worry about the 40 this year.
Okay, thanks again for the time.
Thank you. Thank you to all our investor and analyst participants for joining us on the call today, and we'll now open the call to members of the media. If they have any questions.
Our first question comes from Marie Tisson with La Presse. Please go ahead.
Oui, bonjour. J'aimerais savoir où est-ce que vous en êtes avec la vente de votre division minière.
Oui, Marie, Stéphane Lafèvre à l'appareil. Écoutez, on a mis un processus en place, là, structuré avec une firme. Et puis, on a commencé à recevoir des expressions d'intérêt. On a l'intention comme objectif de clore une vente, là, d'ici la fin de notre exercice financier.
Donc, ça peut être assez rapide.
Ça pourrait, oui, la fin de notre exercice financier, c'est 31 mars, hein, c'est pas 31 décembre.
OK, d'accord. Puis les intérêts, est-ce que ce sont des entreprises américaines ou d'ailleurs?
À ce stade-ci, c'est très varié.
Il y a combien de personnes chez vous qui travaillent dans ce secteur-là?
Je pense qu'il y a autour de 200 personnes à travers le monde.
Mm-hmm.
Dans notre division.
Dans la division minière. Puis ouais. À peu près combien à Montréal?
Oh, je pense, il y a,
doit y avoir à peu près, je sais pas, une cinquantaine de personnes à Montréal, 50, 75 personnes.
De toute façon, c'est Marc, Marie.
Oui.
Notre intention, bah, avant de choisir un acheteur pour cette business-là, c'est une business qui génère des profits. On a expliqué pourquoi nos conclusions par rapport à ce qui nous a mené à la décider de vendre cette partie-là dans l'entreprise. Puis, on vendra pas cette entreprise-là tant qu'on n'aura pas la bonne valeur pour l'entreprise. Puis on choisit des bonnes expressions d'intérêt, mais aussi de façon très importante. Une entreprise qui va s'occuper de nos employés à Montréal et ailleurs.
D'accord, je vous remercie.
Merci.
Thank you. We are concluding the session this afternoon with questions from investors and analysts and with members of the media. I would like to thank all participants for joining us this afternoon and remind you that a copy of the call transcript can be found on CAE's website at cae.com. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference call for today. Thank you for your participation. I ask that you please disconnect your line.